Good. All right. This morning, our first reading comes from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. Uncle Dave and Aunt Lee have the reading for you. It's just three verses. It's Matthew 6, 19, 20, and 21. Okay, give the word your attention.
Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where the moth and the rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Okay, very good. Let's pray, and then we'll turn over to Philippians. Let's ask God for his blessing on his word. Thank you, my Father, for speaking to us. Thank you for these precious words that we have already heard and some more to come. We ask you, Lord, to open the hearts of your people. May we attend on your word to us today and know what best to choose in life. Lord, whether... Well, as the word says, to live is Christ and to die is gain, and I'm not sure what to choose. So we pray for wisdom for ourselves, Lord. In Jesus Christ, amen. All right, very good. So yes, if you want to look at Philippians, we'll start in verse 19 today. If you're using your Pew Bible, that's on page 1349. Yeah, so we stopped on verse 21 for a couple of weeks in a row, and I thought it was good for us to take the time to look at each half of that verse and make sure we get to savor what the meaning of it is. To me, to live is Christ, and to me, to die is gain. Those are the two possible outcomes for me, that is for Paul, in my present situation, and I find both of them quite acceptable, right? Because frankly, Christ has bought me for himself, and I'm his now. And if I should live, I will live to the Lord. And if I should die, I will die to the Lord, right? Or I will die into the Lord, perhaps you could say. I will die into the Lord. So let's back up a step here. We'll read through it one more time, and we'll move on a little farther. So Paul is going to offer a few more thoughts on the subject of what will happen to him. So start in verse 19. He says, "For I know this will turn out for my deliverance." Okay, remember the same word as salvation. One way or the other, right? I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and through the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, in keeping with my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Okay, now that is only hypothetical. He doesn't get to choose. You understand? Caesar will choose. But what I would choose, if I could choose, okay, let's say what I would prefer, right? What I shall prefer, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed, or I am torn between the two things, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh, right, for me to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing in me, should say in me, not for me, your rejoicing in me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. So what this is Paul is developing his reasoning, okay? And I believe that he is perceiving what the mind of Christ is likely to be on this matter. And the mind of Christ likely is that he still has work for Paul to do. If this is to be the end, well, then hallelujah, right? I'm going to lay down my sword and shield, right? Swing low, sweet chariot. Come get me, right? Take me home. The word translated depart, okay, having a desire to depart, that word can also mean to loosen the cords of the tent. You know, untie it, let's fold this thing up and, you know, close her down and let's be going, which I think is great. You know, it's all right, everybody, we're packing it up and, you know, fold it up. It's time to ramble. I'm getting out of here. Okay, to depart and be with Christ. Okay, not just to depart and be with Christ, right? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And can we just stop on that for a second? I want to see Jesus, right? Again, I don't want my afterlife to just be permanent vacation. Okay, that's not the main thing that I'm looking forward to in the afterlife, just to kind of go on a never-ending vacation. There is a person that I want to be with, someone who loves me, someone who is good, who makes me happy, who made me who I am, who endured crucifixion for my sake, right, because he placed that much value on my life, on my soul, and who will be happy to receive me. Right, welcome. Welcome home, right? He'll tell me everything is all right now, okay? Now, we always talk about being reunited with friends and reunited with family and so on, and we talk about meeting interesting people, you know, who's somebody you would like to meet, right? I'd like to meet Daniel, I'd like to meet John the Baptist, I'd like to meet so-and-so, okay? Look, Daniel did not die for me. Yes, he'll be an interesting person. But you know, Daniel is going to say, let's go see Jesus. Do you follow me? Okay. All nations will bow down to him. Kings will serve him. And he will be praised day after day. His name shall endure forever. And all nations will call him blessed. Okay. Now, if the thought of being with Jesus Christ doesn't do that much for you, I dare say I have doubts as to whether you are even a Christian. Okay? Christianity is Christ. Salvation is a person. I keep saying this. Eternal life is a person. What is it that makes departing better? What is it that makes paradise paradise? Christ is there, filling the entire world with his glory. That's why paradise even is paradise. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. I heard a great multitude singing these words. Okay, it's the Lamb that was slain. I never understood why people believe and teach that when you die, your soul just goes to sleep and then awakens on Resurrection Day someday in the future. Now, why would Paul say, I have a desire? You know, if he believed that your soul just sort of, you know, goes to sleep and nothing happens to you until the end of the age comes, this would be the time to say it, don't you think? I mean, this would be the appropriate place to pass that doctrine along in his letters. You know, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, and I am looking forward to going to sleep now and waking up on that great day. Okay, but he never says a thing, anything like that. Okay, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to see the Lord. I'm ready to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. The Lord himself spoke of, you'll remember, the rich man and Lazarus. Okay, they were both conscious, right? Lazarus spoke. Abraham is there. Abraham spoke. They were aware of where they were. Abraham said, Lazarus is comforted. Okay, Jesus, of course, said, today you will be with me in paradise today. Okay, John in the Revelation, he said, I saw the souls in heaven under the altar saying, how long, O Lord, till you avenge our blood? Okay, so no, your soul doesn't just go to sleep. You will be present with Christ Jesus and you will be comforted. So, if it should turn out that now's my time to depart, well, I have to say I won't complain. It's far better, right? And I will just remind you, because people are always talking about how so-and-so is in a better place. Well, that depends. Doesn't it depend? I mean, eternal life is in the Son of God, is it not? Right? He who has the Son has eternal life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. He remains in death. Right, because he is still a son of the devil. He is a child of wrath. And to depart is not better. It's worse. Okay, I am in torment in this fire, the rich man said. Okay, to depart isn't, right? You can't just say he's in a better place. Who's in a better place? Okay, far better is for the redeemed. Okay, we have a song where the chorus says, with my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven. Okay, that's why I'm bound for heaven, because my sins are forgiven. If you haven't settled your sin problem with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you better do it today. He said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the angels in heaven. Okay, if you want to have peace in your death, you have to make peace with God now in this life. And he's shown you very clearly, he has shown you the way to do that. All right, however, Christ's plan for Paul does not appear to be, at this point, at an end. The Philippians still need him. The Philippians love him. For them to see each other again would be a huge blessing. The other churches also. He still has teaching he wants to do. You see how he says it here, for your progress. Okay, for your progress. He still has some new places that he wants to go to. And he apparently has a sense of leading from the Lord that his time hasn't yet come. And I think that it's very true that if a man lives close to Christ and lives with him constantly and has made it his aim to live well within the Lord's will, that he gets a pretty keen sense of what Christ's plan is for him. So a couple things. Remember how Jesus said about his own ministry, my time has not yet come. Or the gospel narrator says, I think it's John, right, that he slipped away from the crowd and no one laid a finger on him because his time had not yet come. Okay, but then Palm Sunday arrives, right? Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the colt. He knows that this trip to Jerusalem is the final trip. And he says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Hey, what am I supposed to say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Jesus said, I must finish the work the Father gave me to do. You know, so there is no taking the life of Jesus until the proper hour or until the work is complete. In fact, nobody takes my life at all, he said. You know, I lay my life down. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up. Now, Paul doesn't have that power, right, to lay his life down and then take it. But Christ has that power over Paul. Okay, when will his time be up? When will his work be complete? So you remember, Christ appointed Paul and gave him work to do. He made him as his apostle, and he says, you're going to go out into the world, into faraway places, and you'll testify about me before kings and Gentiles. Back in Acts, there was a point where he was in prison in Judea, and he had just testified before one of the magistrates or somebody, and the Lord appeared to him and said, basically, well done, good job. As you have testified about me here in Judea, you must also testify in Rome. Okay, so Paul knows at least at that point, that his hour has not yet come because he has to make it all the way to Rome. Well, now he's in Rome, and soon he'll be giving his defense. So, you know, is there anything after that? You know, Christ doesn't appear to him and say one way or the other. But as you can see, Paul does seem to sense that his own work is not yet at an end. If you compare this to the famous passage at the end of 2 Timothy, okay, 2 Timothy 4, where he says, and you know these words, he says, I am now being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith, and at last there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord himself will give me on that day. That's a man who perceives, right, just like Jesus said, I have finished the work the Father gave me to do. My hour is at hand. Okay, and also Peter. And that's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. He says this, as long as I am in this tent, I want to remind you of these things, but I know that I must shortly put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me, and so I'll be careful to ensure that you have a reminder of all these things after my decease. Okay, and the word there is Exodus, right? You know what the Exodus is, you get up and leave. Okay, here in Philippians, the tone is different. Okay, it's not like a sure thing slam dunk, but Paul seems pretty sure that his time's not up. How does he perceive that? It's not by a direct communication from the Lord Jesus this time. It's by inference from Christ's love for his flock. It's by inference from Christ's love for the churches that their training or their equipping under his leadership isn't yet complete. Okay, there are still other things that he has to live through himself, things to write, things to teach, so that the Philippians and other congregations will be prepared to move on into the future. Okay, so that's what he says. For me to remain in the flesh is more needful for you, okay, for your progress and your joy of faith. So I believe that I will continue on in the flesh, and I'll be back to see you again. So think about this. This is selflessness, right? Here's Christian love. There's no self-interest here, okay? I just want to hurry up and die so that I can be done with all my responsibilities and be done with all of you, okay? It's so much work, you know? It's so much stress, you know? No, there's more of myself to give, right? That's what Christian love is, right? Giving yourself, right? Christ loved me and gave himself for me. That's Christian love, right? Christ loved me and gave himself for me. I love the brothers. I have a lot left to give, which they haven't received it yet. And to cut things short right now would seem like out of step with Christ's will for them. So, you know, I don't want to keep on living just so I can retire to my beach house in Crete, right? I'm looking forward to being with you. I want to serve the brothers. You know, I want to go to Spain. I still have a church to plant there. I'm looking forward to coming back to Macedonia, and we can be a blessing to each other. So I'm pretty sure this is going to go well. Just keep praying. So you can see how he's of two minds about what would be better. Okay, I mean, to be with Christ, well, that's better for me. But for me to stay, that's better for you. And if I keep on working, there's sure to be plenty of good fruit that comes out of it. So I thought, you know, this is like one of those game shows. You can quit now, and you can keep what's in the basket, or else you can keep playing. But there's no pressing your luck this time. Like, you're not risking what you already won. Like, you're not risking anything that's already been done. You just keep on going. So, hey, keep on going, you know, spin again, right? It's like there's just more in the win column. There's more fruit in the basket. All that costs you is some effort, but the results of your effort are going to be everlasting. So, well, yeah, by all means, spin again, you know, I'll keep on going. And I wonder what you think about that. You know, I would be really interested in hearing from any of you sometime if you've ever looked at your own life in that way. Okay, because, you know, we always say this, you know, life is uncertain. You never know when's going to be your last day. And we say that all the time. You know, accidents happen. People are snatched away. That's in Ecclesiastes, right? It says, man knoweth not his time. As fish are taken in a net, or birds are caught in a snare, so it is with the sons of men. They're snared in an evil day when it suddenly falleth upon them. Okay, that's Ecclesiastes. That's like general wisdom. But I wonder, have you ever got the sense that, you know, the Lord just isn't done with me yet? There's work that he has for you to do. Okay, and I feel that, you know, such and such project is my life's work for Jesus. And it isn't over yet. You know, they still need me. Just kind of feels like if I were to go now, it wouldn't be right. And I don't get the feeling that too many people are looking at their own futures in terms of what can I get done for Jesus? You know, there's still so much potential left. Okay, so you remember, to Paul, to live is Christ. And I think you would have to say that to some extent in order to look at your remaining years like that. Okay, because a lot of folks are like, look, I'm done. You know, I did my share. that's somebody else's job, and I don't want any more responsibility, and I just want to kick back and relax. Well, can I say the Lord can use you? Okay, the Lord can still use you. And I want you to take this question home with you today and really think about it. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? And why not lay a few bricks for the kingdom of God? Why not? I mean, especially if you think that you don't have that much time left, why not do what the Bible says and work, for the night is coming? Okay, set your mind on the things above. Lay up treasures for yourself in heaven, right? You have nothing to lose. You can't forfeit what you had, and Christ is going to reward you for whatever you do. So, I mean, yeah, let's do another thing. Spin again, right? So you know that the master is going to be a good paymaster for whatever work it is that you do. And, you know, it's not like the Wheel of Fortune where there's the bankrupt triangle. You know, there isn't one. Okay, there are people who will benefit eternally. Like, that's the fruit that will last. So, for example, look at Sister Nendra, right? She's in her 70s. She's retired. She's getting ready to start a brand new ministry, okay? And it's for the same reasons that's here, okay? For me to remain is better for you, for your progress, and joy in the faith. So think about these young children. They will have the spiritual benefit, okay? They will have progress, right? Not just in learning about reading and writing, but in progress spiritually. Okay, her efforts are for their progress and joy in the faith, because she's going to have Bible lessons and the kids are going to learn about Jesus. And the more you know about Jesus, the more joy you have. Okay, sure, I'd love to be with Christ. Who wouldn't? But it's better for these that I keep on going. I just don't feel like it's time for me to hang up my cleats yet. Okay, here's my mom turning 83 this week. Is she done? Not by a mile. Okay, the other church had to give her up today so that she could come and cover for us here. You know, so she's got irons in several fires. Like, she's busy, and I think she likes it that way. Okay, you only have one life to offer. Right, we're going to sing a song in a minute. It's called Only One Life. And the verse says, only this hour is mine, Lord. May it be used for thee. Make every passing moment count for eternity. Make every passing moment count for eternity. So I'll say it again. What are you going to do with the rest of your life for Jesus Christ? To you, to live, is it Christ? Aren't there brothers and sisters and lost ones out there that you can touch with the love of the Lord? You can't lose, so do another thing. Okay, what shall I choose? Not that I get to choose, but honestly, I don't feel that my work is done. Like, if I were to go now, I guess I could say that I gave my labors to Jesus Christ. But I feel like I have more years to give, and I can still be a blessing to his children for their progress and joy in the faith. Okay, I mean, I'm not my own, right? You let Christ do what he wants with me, but, you know, and some servants die young. Okay, we just saw a very effective servant of the Lord killed, age 31. In the Bible, there's James, the brother of John, killed, young man. John the Baptist, like, he's only the same age as Jesus or a few months older. Right, and Jesus died when he was 33, so John the Baptist was only, you know, 30, 31. Stephen, also murdered. He's a young man. Could have got a lot more done. But each of them did a lot for the Lord already and for people. And each one of them left a legacy, a lot of changed lives because of their work. Okay? Now, they didn't get to choose, but they all did die working faithfully for the Lord Jesus, and their fruit will last. So, you know, just let me share a thought that kind of floated through my mind a few years ago, and I'll say it's 9 years ago now, which is hard to believe. But when we were studying Matthew, we were going through the Sermon on the Mount, okay, which is relatively early in Matthew. It's chapter 5, 6, and 7. You know, one of the richest parts of the Bible. You know, here's the Lord's own sermon. Priceless stuff, you know, just rich treasure of the gospel. And I do remember thinking at some time at the beginning of that, you know, same thing as always, you never know when's going to be your last day, so on and so forth. But I hope at least the Lord lets me get to the end of this. You know, and if the Lord lets me finish the Sermon on the Mount, you know, I'll feel like, well, I could say, well, at least, you know, I had that as far as being a minister, you know. If something should suddenly happen, and at least God gave me the opportunity to teach his word to his children for a few years. But, you know, like this would be it would feel like a milestone or an achievement of some kind. Well, all right, that's 9 years ago. The Lord has let me do more than finish the Sermon on the Mount. You know, we've climbed some pretty high hills since then, big chunks of the Bible. We've been part of our lives for a lot of years now. Okay, I'm coming on 15 years pretty soon as being a minister. And, you know, plus my kids are all out of school. They're standing on their own feet. If I had to suddenly go, I wouldn't feel like the work that I did for the Lord was insignificant. Okay, but I am not at all yet feeling like I have finished my race. You know, I'm done. It's time to hang up my cleats. I fought the good fight, and now I'm just ready for rest. Okay, I'm ready to roll down my tent and, you know, mosey on out of here. I can still help you. I can still help other people. Why not keep, like, spin again? You know, who knows what's around the corner? Okay, what's to lose? Honestly, nothing's to lose. Okay, so remember that the word says to offer yourselves unto God a living sacrifice. Okay, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Okay, don't be in such a big hurry to go, to quit, to rest, right? Lay down your sword and shield or your pick and spade. Be a living sacrifice, right? Sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord, pleasing and acceptable. Okay, like the Bible says, wherever we go, we spread the fragrance of Christ. That time will come. You know, eventually everybody gets there. And if you've lived for Christ, then, you know, to get there is not a bad thing. But can I just urge you to pray for yourself and pray for leading, for guidance, that there would be some good things accomplished through you for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ in what remains of your life. You know, volunteer, participate, start something new, be a blessing, be busy. That's what to choose, okay? Choose to use your days and your years to work for the Lord Jesus Christ, to work in his harvest field for the progress and joy of his loved ones. That's Christian love. Okay, that's living. That's truly living. Okay, life is good. Life is God. So work as long as it is still day. All right, praise God. Let's pray. Thank you for your words to us, Lord God. We want to offer ourselves to you. We want to be well-pleasing in your sight and to be, well, certainly to receive that abundant welcome into the kingdom when that day eventually does come. But we pray that you'll spare us and put our hands to work, Lord. Even if only an hour remains, well, we'll work like it's a whole day. And then we know that you are generous with your gifts and rewards. And we know, Father, that no one who does good in the name of Jesus Christ will be forgotten. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for the new endeavors, the church ministries and outreaches. We pray, Father, that you'll open up doors. You'll help us to see the people around us, both brothers and sisters and those who are on the outside, how we can save a soul in the name of Jesus Christ and point them to him. And we ask you to give us these opportunities, Lord, and may we be diligent to serve you and please you in this way. I pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. Good. All right.